Last few weeks, I planned on dealing with Easter types messages for the next few weeks, but today I'm going to get off course. Because the last few weeks we have been dealing with the coronavirus. We have all, in one way or another, have faced some unexpecteds and some unknowns. Some, you know, where there's job issues, financial issues, health issues, whatever. Toilet paper issues. And it's just really has thrown the world and the United States into a tailspin. In the midst of all this, we've got nations that are blaming other nations, as you probably know, and we have nations offering assistance to other nations. People, you know, being quarantined on cruise ships for a few weeks. Mandatory travel bans that has shut down the travel industry. Vacation hotspots have closed. Multitudes of businesses has had to close their doors or restructure the way they're doing business. People being told, no, you can't come to work. Public events being canceled left and right. There are cities out there that is commissioned that their people stay in their homes and not go out. People going around wearing dust masks. I even seen the one guy, I think I mentioned him Wednesday, and I think it was in Italy, he had the social separation donut. He had this 6-foot circle that he wore around him and you couldn't go within his space. Store shelves are empty. Stock market and economy is being hit extremely hard. Schools and universities are shut down. Sporting events canceled. We're to stay that 6 feet away from each other. We're instructed to sanitize our hands all day long. Government has had to issue a $1 trillion stimulus package to hopefully kind of reboot the economy. You hear some of the experts out there say, oh, this is nothing worse, nothing more than maybe just a bad cold or something like the flu, but then you hear people's dying. The number of infected people continue to increase dramatically every day, as well as the number of deaths increase every day. Everybody you talk to has an I heard story. And that leads to more and more assumptions and rumors going around. And the list just goes on and on. And you guys have heard it all through this last several weeks. People's worried, they're concerned because they don't know what to expect. They don't know if they might be out of work. They don't know what's going to happen to them financially. They don't know if they're going to get the coronavirus. They don't know if they're going to have enough toilet paper or food supplies or hand sanitizer. They don't know if they have a loved one they need to be worried about. And the irony in all of this is that at the exact same time, we're up to our ears in anxiety, God is just calmly sitting on his throne. As people are consumed with worry because they don't know what they don't know, yet God is calmly sitting on his throne and he's saying, I know exactly what is going on. As the world is moving at breakneck speed to do everything they can to find answers, God is calmly sitting on his throne and he's going, I've got the answers. As we watch the news and things seem to be out of control, yet God's calmly sitting on his throne going, I've got it all under control. As people are overcome with panic because they don't know how long all of this is going to last, God's calmly sitting on his throne saying things are moving along right on schedule. As the events over the past few weeks have been a challenge to all of us individually and as a society, God is calmly sitting on his throne going, it's just another day in eternity. As we become a nation consumed with worry and fear and anxiety, I thought that I needed to address the circumstances and the consequences we are facing today in regards to coronavirus. But as I thought about what area of Scripture do you teach from on this subject matter, it's not that it was hard to find an area of Scripture to teach from, it was hard to narrow down an area of Scripture to teach from. So I didn't narrow it down to anything. Scripture is just saturated with stories dealing with fear and worry and anxiety from all different aspects and issues of life. Words like fear, anxiousness, anxiety, troubled, worry or afraid, all of those words you find in Scripture over somewhere around 700 times. But you know what's interesting in that? Those words are always used to describe people. They're never used to describe God. You know, and I wonder why that is. And I think I know at least a little bit of why. I think I know why God is never seen being afraid. I think I know why God is never seen being worried or never being troubled. I think I know why God is never described as going through periods of anxiety. We as people face a lot of things in life that are bigger than we are. We face a lot of things that are out of our control. We face a lot of uncertainties. We face a lot of unknowns. We can't see what might happen tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year. Yet, since God is sovereign, since God is omnipotent, since God is all-powerful, He has everything under control. Since God is omniscient, since God knows all things, there are no such things as uncertainties or unknowns with God. Since God is omniscient and He knows all things before they ever happen, He already knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He already knows what's in store for next week, next month, and next year. So you take all of those things into consideration. What is it God's got to be worried about? What does He have to be fearful of? What does God have to be anxious about? What kind of things does God troubled by? But I want to take it a step further. If that same God is our God, what do we have to be worried about? Now, here's the interesting part to that. Throughout all of history, we the people of God, we the people who have entrusted our lives to God, we the people who call Him Lord, we the people who all agree He's got everything under control, we still can find reasons for fear, anxiety, anxiousness, trouble, worry, and fear. That's why it's found over 700 times in Scripture. That is why when Abraham was facing uncertain circumstances, God told him in Genesis 15:1, "Do not be afraid, I am your shield." That is why when the Israelites were facing the uncertainties of Pharaoh's army on one side and the Red Sea on the other, Moses told them in Exodus 14:13, he said, "Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today." That is why when the Israelites were on the threshold of going into battle, they had to be told in Deuteronomy 20, "Hear, O Israel, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them, for the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." That's why Joshua, and as he stood on the threshold of taking the people into the land of Canaan, God told him in Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you, Joshua, be strong and be courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." That's why God had to tell Joseph, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." That is why when the angel appeared to the shepherds, they had to be told, "Don't be afraid." That's why when the disciples were out in the middle of the lake being beat up by the storm and Jesus comes walking on the water up to them, Jesus had to tell them, "It is I, do not be afraid." That's why when Jesus had to tell told the disciples when he was getting ready to depart from them, he had to tell them, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's why Paul, when he was talking to the Corinthians in the church in Philippi, had to tell them, "Do not be anxious about anything." My point is this. Since the beginning of time, God's people have faced a variety of trials, hardships, unknowns, and unexpecteds. And since the beginning of time, believers have experienced times of fear and worry and anxiety. It's been a common practice for believers and unbelievers all through history. But I have to say in response to that, just because it is common for believers to choose to walk in fear and choose to walk in worry and choose to experience anxiety, that does not mean that it's okay. The reason we choose to walk in fear, in worry, in anxiety, can be narrowed down to basically two reasons. We either fail to think of God when we're running things through our minds, or we just simply fail to think that God can and will help us in our time of need. John MacArthur says this, "All worry either assumes that God is not there, or that God does not care, or that God is there and does care, but he can't do anything about it because he lacks the power." And he goes on, he says, "Either we don't trust that he's aware when he is, we don't trust he cares when he does, or we don't trust that he can do anything to protect us when he can." Now, I want to clarify that there is absolutely nothing wrong with living with concern and having concern, as Bruce talked about in Sunday school. He has concerns. As a matter of fact, it is wise to be concerned at times. We should be concerned for our own health. We should be concerned about our own well-being. And we should be concerned about those around us and their health and their well-being. Showing concern should be characteristic of all believers. But we should not allow our legitimate concern to turn into illegitimate worry. Concern becomes worry. Concern becomes anxiety when the situation begins to control us. When Jesus gave that famous Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew in chapters 5 through 7 there, he talked about all variety of issues. And one of the issues he talked about was that we can have freedom from worry. For those of you that maybe you need to read scripture as you go through this coronavirus and all the fear that's been put out there, maybe it would help you to read these verses, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. In those verses, and I just want to briefly touch on them, in those verses, Jesus told the people things like this. He said, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on." He says, "Which of you by worrying can add one single hour to his life? So why do you worry about clothing? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And he finishes and he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Again, in totality for you to read, it would be Matthew 6, 25 through 34. I just gave you a couple verses out of that. In short, when you read what Jesus says there in those verses in its entirety, he is saying to you and he is saying to me and he is saying to his people, you don't need to worry. You don't need to be troubled about the necessities of your life being met because your heavenly Father knows your needs and he finds you to be far more valuable than nature itself, and he takes care of all the needs of nature. He is saying, don't get all worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things comes your way when that time comes. A quote I had in my notes, I don't know where I got it from, but it said, today is the tomorrow that we worried about yesterday. Today is the tomorrow that we worried about yesterday. A lot of truth there, huh? So I guess the question would be, what do we gain from worrying? What have you ever benefited, or what have I ever benefited? What has anybody ever benefited from living in a time of anxiety? I mean, even Jesus, he says, has worrying ever extended your life? Even an hour? And the advice Jesus gives us in these verses is, if we will make his agenda our agenda, he will make our agenda his agenda. Matthew 6:30, Jesus described those who worry about things in life as being, O you of little faith. Why would he do that? Why does he describe those who worry as having little faith? Because it's simply this, when we worry, we have little faith in God. When we allow our hearts to become troubled, we in essence put the objects or the situations that we're worried about on God's throne. Because we come to believe the coronavirus is running the world, not God. When we live in fear, we are saying that God does not have our future under control. Let me share a couple things with you, and I know some of you said these things back in Sunday school, so there's nothing new in what I'm about to say. But first of all, the coronavirus was not a surprise to God. When the news about the coronavirus broke out in the news a while back, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit didn't panic and have to call some meeting to discuss how it happened and what they need to do to deal with it. I think Bruce said this one maybe in Sunday school, the coronavirus exists because God has permitted it to exist. If God did not want the coronavirus to happen, folks, it would not have happened. Plain and simple. Some way, somehow, the coronavirus, and we don't understand this, but it fits into God's temporary and his eternal plans. Some way, somehow, according to Romans 8:28, God is using the coronavirus for good. And sure, there's still a lot of unknowns and a lot of unexpecteds that's ahead. But we might have some uncertainties that's ahead for us, but we serve a God who is certain. and a God who is aware of all the unexpecteds before they ever become known to us. As I begin to wrap up, let me just say that even though we have nothing to worry about, even though we have no reason to let anxiety overcome us, we still need to be wise in our day-to-day activities as we go through this unexpected journey. For what it's worth, folks, it is biblical to use a lot of the caution that's being promoted out there when it comes to something such as a disease or a virus going around. When God was given the law to the nation of Israel, He wrote pretty extensively on this particular subject matter. In Leviticus chapters 13 through 15, God spoke about the importance of exercising sanitation practices in times just like this. In Leviticus chapters 13 through 15, God spoke extensively about the importance and the necessity, believe it or not, of isolating people with diseases until a priest declared them to be well. Folks, God was way ahead of modern day medicine. The people back then, they didn't understand how viruses and diseases and bacteria and germs could spread, but God did. And so what we're being told to do today, folks, it's nothing new. And it would be wise to pay attention to it. You say, well, why are we having church then? Because I believe we're all adults and we can make our own decision whether we want to be here or not be here. And either way, it's respect. You know, we respect that. There's nothing wrong with watching the news and all the stuff going on, but if you spend more time giving your attention to the news than you do giving your attention to God, worry and anxiety is what will grip you next. The more you focus on God, God's characteristics, God's attributes, the less you will fear the coronavirus and what may or may not come as a result of it. Saying I've gave many times here and that I've lived on periodically numerous times throughout my many years is when you don't understand what God is up to, focus on the things about God you do understand. I have no idea where God's going to let all this stuff go. I have no idea what ways I or you or my family or whoever may suffer or whatever as a result of all of this. But what I do understand is God sits on the throne. It was not a surprise to Him. He is sovereign over it. It will go on as long as He lets it go on. The minute He wants it stopped, He will stop it. I'm not going to be a faith healer teacher here and tell you it won't affect you. I would be a fool to tell you that, and you'd be a fool to believe those that would tell you that. We as believers live in a fallen world, and even as God's children, sometimes we're affected by that fallenness world. And might I add, you and I spent many years contributing to that fallen world. I do find it interesting, and some people have mentioned the necessity of using this opportunity to share with others, maybe for hope of salvation. As I think of that, I think, okay, what would you say to somebody? And there's numerous things you can say, but maybe one of the things would be, you know, have you been paying attention to this coronavirus thing? Yeah. See it spreading? Yeah. It's contagious? Yeah. Are you concerned about it? Yeah. Would you be concerned about a disease that's greater than the coronavirus? Because, folks, when you get down to it, this coronavirus has nothing on the disease of sin. There will be so many people affected by the coronavirus There'll be short-term consequences. Could be some deaths in there. Obviously, we know that. It's already happened. But the greatest disease man has ever had has affected everyone who's ever walked the face of the earth. And they can never be cured of it outside of Jesus Christ. And those consequences go on forever. Sadly, in this day, the human race has a far more serious disease than they know. And it has affected everybody. And it will cause far more damage than the coronavirus. The only antibody to it is the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now. We as your children are not above being affected by the consequences of what's going on. And I would never make a false promise to say if you're a Christian, you've been healed by his stripes. That's just a joke. At the same time, we do ask you to protect us and our loved ones. Nobody wants to get this thing. Nobody wants to lose their job because of it. Nobody wants to suffer economically because of it. We would love for things to get back to normal. But you've got a plan and a purpose in all of this, so we're just going to have to ride it out and see what it is. And we may never know. But Lord, I pray you might use this situation to motivate us to tell others about what's going on and why. But to also share with them a more greater disease with a more devastating consequences than the coronavirus. Father, I want to thank you for everybody that was here, and I also want to say that we need to respect those who did not feel a need to come because they are just taking the precautions. We want to respect that, absolutely. But Lord, I do pray that as we go through this time in our nation, that we look up more than we look at the TV. That we spend time reading Matthew 6 and what you've got to say about the freedom of worry. Lord, we should be concerned, but let us know when we cross the line of concern to illegitimate concern that turns into worry and anxiety. Lord, we love you, we thank you, if I can, from Sunday school, we have faith that you are on the throne. None of this is new to you. You knew it before the foundations of the world. You know how far it's going to go. You know the ultimate consequences of all this. And you know when and if it'll end. And it is definitely comforting to know that that's the God we serve. In Christ's name, amen.